It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind.
Good
time.
News, Sean.
Lies, feline, with a death wish.
Right, Sterling K. Brown, thanks to the official Paradise account, announced through cue cards that season 3 has been given the go. And we're not done with season 2, but season 3 has been given a go. I'm so soccer coded. He's wearing a jersey and I can't identify the team. So that's all I've been I was hoping a soccer fan was in the comments to tell me what type of jersey that was, but it's all Paradise fans either complaining or very happy about the show. I can't tell what jersey that is. I can't identify the logo. It looks like an A, and I thought that might be a change kit for Atlanta FC, but that logo doesn't match. It's an Adidas jersey, so I assume it's an MLS jersey. I can't tell, though. Cannot tell with the Purina as the title sponsor.
Is it not the club jersey for the USA men's national team?
No. No, it's not the one that looks good.
Is that a fashion statement?
No, Nike is their official provider. This is like Adidas jersey, and I can't tell. It looks like an A. Maybe it's a European jersey. Either way, Paradise Season 3. Gonna go. Gonna be here, and I'm excited about that. I got to watch the latest episode. I missed that. Let's get to Jay. He wants to talk some Rockets. We haven't talked Rockets in a little bit. The game was close, but that was an embarrassing loss. When you can't run offense, you can't handle a double team, you got your star player committing a backcourt violation and then having an 8-second count. It was all bad in that fourth quarter. What's up, Jay?
Hey, good morning, guys. It's like you said, it's bad. I just feel like this Rockets team is like the team from the Astros last year where now we're just saying, oh, it's May, it's all right, you know, they got time. Oh, it's July, it's all right, they got time. Oh, they have a lead, it's okay. There's no time now. There's a month away for the playoffs. They'll get in the playoffs, yes, congrats, but, like, there's no flow to the offense. The biggest one moment, let alone the fourth quarter, it was in the second quarter, halfway, Reece Shepherd is walking up the ball, loses the ball right in front of Doncic. There's a scramble. Clint Capela rips it away, throws it to Tyrese, and he makes a three. Yes, everyone on the crowd goes, you know, we made a three, but it was just an ugly offensive possession. There's no time no more. I think this is the team we have. I don't know, first round, maybe they win it. Great, but you're out here losing games to LJ Clyer and a bunch of bums. There's no faith in this team. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I have had a approach all year with growth as they get ready for the playoffs because of the big trade and how this all coming together. Well, it's getting late for this team to find their way, and they are not progressing. I think I said it after the Nuggets game, where the Nuggets, who had Aaron Gordon hurt and they're trying to incorporate Cam Johnson, they, at least on that night, had found their way. They blew out the Rockets. Of course, the Nuggets did drop a game they shouldn't have to the Lakers over the weekend. But this Rocket team, at some point, you would think they would have come together and found how they're going to win. It's Steven Adams, his absence, such a thing to overcome that it kind of just flipped who they were, because they had, whether we thought it was aesthetically pleasing or not, a way of winning basketball games. They got on the offensive boards. If they could force turnovers and get out in transition, that's how their offense was efficient. Like, the numbers will tell you that they have one of the better offenses in basketball as far as efficiency is concerned over the course of the year. We know it doesn't look great, but the way they played worked. And look, they're still right there as a 4 seed, could be a 3 seed by the end of the day or the end of the season. So it's not all terrible, but this team, at least record-wise, is not as good as the team that was the 2 seed last year. Now, that team needed a giant month of March to get to a point where they were a 50-plus win team, they could solidify the 2 seed. This team is not on that type of pace as it stands now. They are who they are. They don't have anybody who who can consistently beat someone off the dribble, not named Kevin Durant. Their shooting goes in and out. They don't shoot a lot of threes. And on nights when they shoot poorly, you wind up scoring 92 points against the Lakers. Your defense remains fine. Like, last night it was fine. You give up 100 points, only 17 in the fourth quarter. You go in the fourth quarter with the lead. You should come out with a win if you're only giving up 17 points in a game. Actually, you're trailing by three, I think. But you're only trailing by three. You give up 17 points. That should be a win for you. Instead, it's another close loss. It's another clutch loss. And all the problems you had a month ago, or maybe they weren't even there a month ago, maybe the start of the month, they're still here. So I think we see this Rockets team for what they are. They're a first-round team. They could win that series depending on who they see and if their shooting comes in. Like if Tari finds his shooting touch and he's making open jumpers, yes, that could help you win a series. And if Reed Sheppard has a hot couple games, if he wins you a game because of his shooting, you could wind up winning a close series.
Yeah, then you need, what, two games from Durant and Şengün?
Kevin Durant and Şengün to be good All-stars, or great for a couple games. You can win a first-round series. The West, even as you are struggling playing against, at least on national TV, you have struggled recently against some of the better teams in basketball. The West, depending on the matchup, you can walk in there and win a first-round series against anyone.
Yeah.
Not name the Spurs or the Thunder. And I mentioned that because if you fall into the plan, which is possible, then you may see one of those two. And then it's the first-round exit, and then we're talking about people's jobs, I think, if you fall far enough where one of those teams is waiting for you in the first round. But if you stay in the mix where you make the playoffs without the play-in, you could win a 3-6 whether you're the 6 or the 3. And you can also lose a 3-6 whether you're the 6 or the 3. And that's where they are. I think some people thought they would be above this, where they would be at least – well, the problem is we didn't think the Spurs would be as good as they are so quickly. But you at least thought you'd be in tier two. Instead, you're in tier three with three other teams. And that means you can get knocked out in the first round for the second year in a row.
And chances are it's almost guaranteed, one of Denver, Houston, Minnesota, L.A., they're going to have to play. Like, one of these four teams is losing in the first round. Like, that is, like, it can't happen where they don't. So, unless one of them's, like, an 8 seed and beats OKC. But, like, the fact of the matter is you just don't want to be the one of those four teams that came into the season thinking Western Conference Finals at least. I mean, those other teams probably thinking finals they can make. And, you know, again, one of them could be the Rockets.
As it stands,
because these games will be broadcast on national TV, which is not good.
Yeah, recent history suggests all these games on national TV, if the Rockets have lost, that a first round exit, if they don't get it together,
they're also on Space City Home Network.
Yeah, but these games are too.
NBC game was too. Yeah.
Yeah. So right now, Lakers 3, Rockets 4, Nuggets 5, the Wolves 6. There's a 2-game gap between the Suns and the Wolves. So as it stands now, two of these teams who thought they were Western Conference finalists, teams are going to be done in the first round.
And it's funny that it basically just kind of depends on the week as far as
who you feel.
Yeah, like we're coming, and I guess last night didn't change anything, like coming off a weekend or a week of like, oh, Lakers figuring it out. You know, they're beating some good teams, whatever. And it's like, well, we did that with the Timberwolves, like right after the deadline. We did that with the Nuggets a couple weeks ago. Like, it is just, I mean, we haven't done it for the Rockets. I mean, I guess the Rockets did win. Well, they had like a 4 or 5 game winning streak not that long ago. But there hasn't really been the Rockets turn of optimism of like, oh, maybe this is the team. It is right now, it seems like it's four teams that have high expectations and are all pretty flawed. And it's just a matter of like, who's going to kind of get it together in time for the playoffs starting in about a month.
And hopefully I was hoping that the last couple games would allow them to sit Kevin Durant.
Nope.
The way they're going.
Nope.
They're going to need Kevin Durant to be available and play heavy minutes.
Yeah. Maybe 32 minutes as a treat.
Yeah. He might get one of those.
Yeah. Well, like once every two weeks.
Yeah. There was a call this morning about, are we going to start to get him to take some games off, because he has played far more games to this point than we thought he would. Like, what was the projection coming into the year? Like 65 to 70?
Yeah, we thought that would be in the 60s.
We thought mid to high 60s,
yeah,
60s, and he got to 70, that'd be great. He's well above that pace.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he already, he might, he's at 64 right now, today. Yeah, I do kind of think, like, at this point, like, okay, what's another 3 weeks of this? You know, like you can't rest him now that these games matter so much, and not you know, you definitely can't rest him against any of the playoff teams, and you really can't rest him against, like, the Pelicans.
You can't even rest them against the Pelicans.
The Pelicans, Grizzlies,
and now the
Bulls.
Hawks have won 10 in a row. You can't rest them there either. I think you can rest them against the Bulls and the Grizzlies if you were to make that choice. I mean, the Pelicans at least have been playing better, and then they won their game against the Mavericks as well.
I would have I would have them suit up, but maybe not.
If
play.
You have him suit up, then he's going to play. There's no point of just having him sit there as an emergency sniper.
Yeah, I don't.
He's not like
the
third quarterback. You can't just have him sit there if he's not going
to
play.
I just don't want to be halfway through the third quarter down 85-64.
No, I get it. But if that's a concern, he's just going to play. They're not just going to have him waiting in reserve.
I think I would just play him, honestly. Like, again, at this point, like, what are we?
So if you look at it, you've gone down it. You've said Memphis, like, they've got the Lakers at home, he'll play. Atlanta at home, he'll play. Back-to-back, Miami at home, he'll play. At Chicago, he'll probably play, but if you're trying to pick and choose a game, that would be one, because you got Minnesota after a day off in Minnesota at Memphis. So there are games, if this team could be depended on, where you could sit them. Like but if you look at the schedule, you got to play Memphis second to last game, Minnesota second last game of season. That could be about seeding. Of course, you've got games against Golden State. We know no matter who's playing, you have trouble with them. So, yeah, if Kevin Durant winds up playing like 77, 78 games this season, I guess it's just going to have to be that way.
Yeah.
The Rockets haven't shown the ability to keep him from that. So
yeah.
That's
and you
how
already
it's going to be.
Like, you kind of already made that choice
when you didn't rest
in
earlier game.
You know, like
you didn't find time for him to rest in, so you've decided he's going to get to play 70 plus games in the season, which he hasn't. I know he didn't do it last year, partly because of the ankle, and then they shut him down because everyone was pissed that he wasn't traded at that point. But we are where we are, where he's desperately needed because this team is devoid of creators.
Because, look,
do I have to keep explaining it? You saw the game last night.
You've seen a game from the Rockets the last, like, 2 months.
Against a team with a pulse last month. You've seen what happens with him on the floor or off the floor. They got problems. Chris, you want to talk about the Venezuela WBC final? I call it that because they're the team that cares the most. But it is a game where the USA is involved as well. We'll see who comes out on top. Can Aaron Judge get the monkey off his back, Sean? Can Aaron Judge finally win something? We'll see.
I mean, the real takesman answer is no matter what happens, no.
Yeah, because this doesn't matter. Yeah, it's true.
Either you come up small, loser,
or
you win, don't care.
If I went to the Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith school of takesmanship.
I was born in this media environment, molded by it.
If you win, who cares? The WBC. Yeah,
whatever.
And if you lose, of course you lost. You're Aaron Judge.
Loser.
Yeah. Loser. Exactly. MVP. Loser. All right. We'll go to break with that. Chris, we'll get to you when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Chris here. He'll talk some WBC. It is Team Venezuela versus Team USA for the title in Miami. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was wanting to ask, because I don't know, I didn't hear if you guys already broke down the matchup. I don't know who the starting pitchers are, I haven't listened to much about the teams that Venezuela's been beating up on to get into where they're at now. Been tuning into the USA games some, but I just wanted to see how they match up, the starting pitchers and what you guys think will be the end result. Appreciate it, guys. I'll hang up with
it. I'm telling you, Chris, it's the wrong show for that type of analysis. I'll tell you who's going to start, though. Nolan McLean. will start for Team USA. He's a Met. That's where he'll be playing when he goes back to his team after this. So he'll start, and the Venezuelan starter is Eduardo Rodriguez. He's a lefty, so you can take a look at the lineup tonight and see how they combat a lefty out there who Team Venezuela has beat on their way to this final. Most notably, they beat Team Italy, the one team to beat the U.S. in this tournament. They beat them 4-2 last night. They beat Team Japan in a big upset to get here to that point, or this point now. They beat Nicaragua, managed by Dusty Baker. And they also beat Team Israel. They did drop a game to the DR in pool play. So they have been the underdog, and they found a way. And now they get to go up against the Giants in World Baseball, although we don't win World Baseball Classics, but the Giant in World Baseball, Team USA. And they'll get to see Nolan McLean. Not exactly a pitcher of like much acclaim as far as what you would think of as a star pitcher. He's not a schoolboy or a Skeens, but he's the guy. He was fine. And we'll see what he's on. I'm sure if you don't know, there's like a pitch count that they force upon the pitcher. So McLean's not going eight tonight. It'll be a combination of guys to try to get the win. But if you don't know anything about him, you can look it up before the game. Good luck to all those involved. This is my emotions regarding. I hope everyone has a great time tonight. Hope you all, no matter what you decide is the way you want to root on this thing, I hope you all have a great time, and hope everyone enjoys the final.
What if Team USA came out and started celebrating and playing with the emotion that the Latin American teams have? Like, just, they're saving it for the final.
If they became a college baseball team overnight?
Yeah.
I think certain portions of baseball media would take them to task.
Especially if they lost.
The ones, yeah, of course. As I said about Team USA, soccer. Sure, design the jerseys. But watch if you lose.
Yeah, watch out.
Yeah, so I won't say emotional. You'll see more emotion from Team USA with the final in store, but I don't think we're going to be like gesticulating as much as Venezuela will.
The most they do is like some fist bumps to the ground and a let's go.
Do they even have like a celebration that an MLB team would do with a home run? Like some guy,
they do a lot of saluting.
The salute. They don't put a guy in like a laundry basket and roll him through. They don't do any of that.
No, even an
MLB team would do that.
Break out a limbo stick.
I mean, you could rise to that level because that's allowed in Major League Baseball.
A little Nerf basketball hoop, something. And he dunks it like he's at Ole Miss.
I'm sure some Latin American guy got it started in that MLB dugout.
There isn't
a guy to get it going, so no one decides. Like, who's the first guy? Hey, guys, maybe we should celebrate home runs beyond a salute. There's probably not a guy there who would do it.
Oh, they do the forearm thing?
Yeah, you know, basic-ass stuff.
That's cool.
Sure. Compared to...
It's a little showy, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, relax, guys. Tone it down a little bit. So, however it goes. Hopefully, we all have a good time. I'll be watching a little bit. I don't have the Rockets to disappoint me, so I'll take a look. And we've got first four stuff tonight, too.
First four action.
Yeah, so maybe. Better ratings. First four. It's got to be the World Baseball. That's on Fox, right? It's on Big Fox, right?
Yeah.
It's got to have better ratings than stuff on True TV.
Yeah, that is true. I'm just. It is the final of one thing versus literally the first four games of the other. So.
It'd be a real kick in the junk to baseball.
Because in my mind, I go, well, it's the NCAA tournament versus baseball, exhibition baseball.
Mm-hmm. But it is.
But there is a trophy being handed out.
Yeah, and it's first four stuff.
It's
like
USA.
And Texas and NC State are the draws, I guess, because UMBC and Howard is the first game.
Yeah.
It's got it. It'll do better.
I mean, UMBC...
They are authors of a giant upset,
you know,
a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Now,
NC State also author of a big upset.
That was about 40 some years ago now. Not a great time to bring it up, Sean, considering the drought for the city.
It's a big upset.
Yes, you're right. It's a big upset. Thank you. thanks for that.
And then you have Texas.
I'm sure there are people listening to this stupid show thinking, or not thinking, there's no chance they bring up NC State here, is it?
I was actually kind of half thinking about last year.
Oh, yeah, when they made a run?
or
2 seasons.
2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
With DJ Burns.
Yeah, because they fired the coach who was the author of that
gonna
run.
They're going to fire him, and then they made the Final Four.
And then then they were allowed to fire him the next year because they didn't do so well. Now Will Wade is in that job.
Yeah, so, you know, got some notable programs in Texas.
You know, I got to think, while I was maybe in line with thinking that no one thought you would bring it up, I got to think around this time, anytime NC State is brought up, it's got to be like, we're right around the corner.
Remember that one time?
From someone bringing up Valvano, running around.
Jimmy V, still looking for someone to celebrate with.
The Cougs have recent heartbreak. They don't even need to go back to Fies Lama Jamma. We got last year.
Yeah.
Seconds away from a title. And as a 2 seed, as you well know, they got a chance to go through Houston as long as they take care of their first couple games and then maybe make their way back to a Final Four. Thanks for the call, Chris. Is Jeremy here today with Joe? If you're looking for a real breakdown of the WBC final, I would say
I think Jeremy's here.
3-6. I think those guys are going to have probably a more comprehensive breakdown if you so choose to call about it.
I could kind of see Jeremy being a...
This doesn't matter.
I don't want anyone ever getting hurt, not for an MLB team.
Got it.
Save the injuries for spring training, please.
Not
for this meaningless baseball.
Yes, you're wearing the uniform of the team that pays you. You can get hurt here. But not get hurt
country.
Representing your country. That's how you position it when he says stuff like that. Oh, they can't get hurt representing their country in a tournament that the other countries care more about?
I was going to say, if we really distill it down, I think that's why people don't in the U.S. care less about this, is because it's like, actually, I care more about the Pittsburgh Pirates than America.
That's aggressive.
I care about American baseball.
They care more about Pittsburgh Pirates baseball than
putting on for my country.
Than American baseball.
Than patriotism.
If you position it like that, no one's going to agree to that statement. But if you say, hey.
The choice they're making.
It's American baseball that people don't care about as much. Wrapping a team in the flag is less important to some people than a pirate hat on their favorite player. That's all. I mean, what are the Pirate fans have to look forward to anyway? You might as well just let
your guy can win something.
You might as well just let Paul Skeens go 100 pitches before his arm blows out like John Smoltz says. Who cares?
Oh no, the Pirates might not make the playoffs this year because Skeens got hurt.
Yeah, but every fifth day they want to go out there and watch their guy.
I know. It's exciting.
It's
probably crucial to like the economics of the Pittsburgh Pirates that he starts.
I don't know that it's still
games.
Called PNC Park. It's probably not, but the people who run that place, like, shut up. When he pitches, people show up. You quiet down.
We need 5 Friday starts from this guy.
You quiet down, idiots.
To make our season.
You live in a city where baseball has mattered for over a decade. Not the same here.
Hey, but before that, super didn't.
Yeah, but
trust me, I know.
But you've grown accustomed, and now you're spoiled. Let us have our star pitcher for the next couple of years before he's gone.
If Matt Dominguez ever wanted to have played for a World Baseball Classic team, I would have let him, personally.
Same with me and Wandy.
Yeah.
Wandy wanted to go out there and pitch someplace else.
Put on for your country, I don't care.
Yeah. If Wandy wanted to pitch for the DR, I would have been fine with it.
Get 100 losses with or without you.
Ooh, I covered the Astros during that time. I go to the ballpark, particularly on the weekends. I talk about the tones people speak in when the team loses. It was a lot of that from the media. It's a lot of that over the course of a couple seasons.
It's like 300 games of that over 3 years.
I don't know that Bo Porter ever hurt anyone above a certain octave. Bo Porter had a lot of mumbled conversations with media members as they asked questions. You don't know what we're talking about. In locker rooms and clubhouses, when teams lose, the media's always like, that third inning was kind of
tough. One.
No one ever enunciates. No one ever raises their voice to an audible level. I had to cut up the audio. And I had the audio in audition. I had to jack it up just to hear what a media member was asking.
Do you think Bo Porter, it took him whatever until 2017 till we'd be like, oh, that's what Brian McTaggart's voice sounds like.
When he heard him talking
to AJ Hinch.
AJ Hinch.
Yeah. That's what he said.
I didn't know Brian McTaggart spoke above a whisper. Didn't know that was the case. All right, we'll go to break. A couple more segments to go. Of course, you can get in 713-780-3776. We will be back. NCAA, the tournament, in our previous segment. Well, what comes with the tournament? Brackets. And we like to call it Bracket Madness. You can go to ESPN975.com right now and fill out a bracket. Fill out your bracket for your chance to win great prizes, including the grand prize, which is a two-night stay at Golden Nugget Lake Charles, plus a $200 food and beverage credit. There's also a two-night stay from Two Creeks Crossing Resort, a great prize from Republic Boot Company, and a whole lot more. Of course, you can challenge yourself against us. We've been implored to take part. So it'll be us versus you. And we can win a prize. I found that out through an email, Sean. But it won't be what the listeners can win. We got a separate thing that we can win. So there's more incentive for the people who work here to be involved. But the prizes from Two Creeks and Golden Nugget and Republic Boot Company are all yours as you compete against the rest of the listeners. So go to ESPN975.com and fill out your bracket. If you guys had penciled in Alabama for a deep run, maybe listen to the news. If you missed it, Aiden Holloway, one of Alabama's best players, was caught, but they went to his place of residence and found a pound of weed plus other stuff. And he's up on felony charges, which means he's off the squad. Now, Sean and I had a debate off the air. Not a debate, more just laughing at Nate Oates. What Nate Oates would do about this. Now it's out of Nate Oates' hands. Once it rises to a felony and there's a pound, Nate Oates can't make a decision.
But like, it's the tournament, damn it.
Yeah, we remember Nate Oates. He stood by his guy, Brandon Miller. No, credit to Nate Oates. Brandon Miller never convicted of anything. It's gone on to have an NBA career where the Hornets are having their best moment in the last 5 years or so. And he's a part of a 500 basketball team who's played pretty well. So Nate Oates stood on with Brandon Miller and was fine. Nate Oates can't make the decision to stand with Aiden Holloway. He has been taken off the team, and that hurts Alabama, a team who had some aspirations in this tournament, but instead one of their better players done for weed. And you hear that initially, like, whatever. And then you hear, oh, it's a pound. It's over a pound of weed. Okay. Now there's something real at play. And some of the words from the Alabama program regarding this, they've got standards. We got standards in our program, and we've got ways to hold our guys accountable, and we try to keep everything in-house. Obviously, some of the situations you can't, and this is one of those.
He tried to keep a lot in his house,
look,
to be fair.
Yeah, Nate Oates is like, some things we handle within. But when it comes to a pound of weed, these are things I cannot control. The feds have to get involved. So we're going to have to stick with Aiden. We love him, but he can't play for us as it stands now. I do like how, look, some of these things we would like to have internal discipline, like run a couple gassers. How much weed would Aiden Holloway have had to have for this to fall to the level of just gassers?
What's like a gram below the felony amount in the state of Alabama?
Yeah, what misdemeanor charge would have allowed for Nate Oates to just force him to run?
I think misdemeanor possession would have been okay.
Yeah, I think he would have been. I think he would have played. We let the legal process play out here.
Yeah, come on.
We'll handle this internally as we stick with our guy, and let's go win some tournament games.
Yeah, this is tough for Alabama. I feel like Alabama basketball, it's a lot of, they're pretty good. They're generally like actually really good. They spend a lot of time in courtrooms.
It happens.
And Nate Oates has to answer for his players. I mean, even, you know, the G League guy that tried to play for them.
Like, yeah, that was a court issue. Yeah.
It was a court issue.
Yeah.
It's not as, you know, There's no crimes being committed. Just, you know, some people are like,
questions of eligibility.
Yeah, really? Are we doing this? Yeah. Alabama basketball. Never a dull moment. They play an exciting brand of basketball.
They do play offensively exciting basketball. And he's one of the reasons why, Aiden Holloway. And they also provide you entertainment off the floor.
They're an interesting team.
Yeah. I mean, pretty good SEC team. Not the top of the conference.
Yeah.
4 seed in the tournament.
Yeah. You know.
Maybe if the selection committee had known beforehand, maybe they wouldn't be a 4.
Knock them down to
maybe,
a 5.
Maybe drop them a seed line down. But either way, they're a 4 seed.
Do you think there's some coordination with Tuscaloosa PD that they're like...
To wait. Wait until Monday.
Hey, this guy has a pound of weed.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if it was Nick Saban, I think they might say, hey, Nick, hey, coach... Look, that was what Pete Golding would call him. I don't know if the county sheriff would call Nick Saban daddy, but hey, coach, you got the CFP coming up. Do we wait to make this arrest of your star player until the committee makes an announcement about your seating, and then we come in?
Yeah, wait.
How would you like us to handle this?
Wait until Florida State gets screwed out of the spot, and then boom. Yeah.
Well, that would have to be a quarterback. Like I don't want to throw his name because he's actually a real human being. Insert quarterback, random quarterback into the mix here, and you wait until the quarterback.
Yeah,
you wait until the seeding is announced, and Florida State's out, and then you have to make the arrest.
All right, 4 seed, good. All right, lock him up.
I don't believe Nick Saban can get that done. I definitely don't believe Nate Oates could. I don't think the Tuscaloosa County Sheriff is waiting on Nate Oates and his call before he makes a decision.
Is this some like Nate Oates wears the suit on the sideline because he has such a, I'll say, turbulent program off the floor?
I mean,
it's like are
you suggesting that he always has a suit on because he never knows when he has to go to the court?
I'm saying he's trying to project professionalism and project, this is all above board. I'm a leader of men. I'm wearing a suit.
If I asked, he probably wouldn't say that's why.
No, he would say, like,
I'm sure
whatever.
I'm sure there's a reason behind it, an emotional one maybe, why he wears a suit. I don't know. I don't know if it rises to what Mike Nolan why he wore a suit. But, he's one of the few who still does. But either way, he's got a good basketball team, less so now that Holloway is dealing with his court issue.
Most of these are about how he gets them tailored, most of the stories.
So there's no, like, Tom Rinaldi story about why he wears a suit.
That's not the headline of this. Alabama.com.
I'm typing in, why does Nate Oates wear suits on the sideline? And see if AI over you gives me any semblance of a real answer. But while that's happening, just remember, Alabama down a player, maybe take, Hofstra on the points?
Yes, Hofstra.
Are they playing Hofstra? Maybe take them. And speaking of that, Hofstra, one of the teams who knew they were getting in. And unfortunately, as they were like shown earlier, because CBS has different feeds that they send to the people they have on camera. Like you'll see a team on camera and then they'll get up and celebrate being seen. And of course, if you're an automatic qualifier, you got a big crowd behind you. Everyone's waiting to see where they go. So I think it was Northern Iowa who did not get to see their they didn't get to see the announcement on the feed. What they saw was Hofstra getting up, and as you might imagine, Northern Iowa wasn't going to get up and celebrate Hofstra. So one of the players in Northern Iowa looked to his left. And on the television, the regular television feed showed Northern Iowa in the tournament against whoever. And then everyone gets up to celebrate. But the feed they got was Hofstra. So that's why when you see Northern Iowa on the screen, no one does anything. They're like, just waiting still.
Yeah.
And I think the CBS crew cracked a joke about how not excited they were. It was because they didn't actually see their name. It just so happened that a guy looked to his right, I think, and saw it on the actual television.
Knowing they do that, like, really, you can open yourself up for some real bulletin board material, you know? You could really, like, where they're, like, fist pumping something, and it's like, the Taco Bell commercial from the break before, but it's like that's what they're showing is them fist pumping that they get to play Kansas, and now Bill Self gets to be like, see?
These guys are excited to play you.
Yeah, like you can just do
they
that.
They don't think, no. Well, I can't use the words that Bill Self might use, but yeah.
It's like the Wembanyama draft lottery thing.
It turns out he was right about that. I know for a time.
Would Ime Udoka be trying to make him Clint Capella? Trying to make Victor Wembanyama Clint Capella.
I perish the thought. If Ime had gotten his hands on Wembanyama, how that would go. Well, we know Alpi probably wouldn't be here. There's no need for both of them, I would think.
Yeah, there'd be a weird butterfly effect.
Who knows how it all plays out. Wembanyama got what he wanted. I don't know if he even wanted the Spurs. He just wanted anyone who wasn't the Rockets.
He
just wanted the Rockets not to be the top pick. And then the Spurs came into view once they were the number one overall team. And, of course, the Tony Parker connection, the French stuff. They've had plenty of French players. So it all worked out for him, unfortunately for us, because now we got to deal with him and that Spurs team who was nasty. I think they took apart the Clippers last night in L.A. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go. If you want to join us, you're more than welcome to 713-780-3776. By the way, Northern Iowa, less than excited to play St. John's, apparently. That's who they'll play, the Big East Tournament champion. St. John's beat the hell out of Connecticut in that game as Rick Pitino's team. I think they won the tournament last year, too, or at least they made the final the year before last year, too. So they've had a pretty good run in the Big East Tournament the last couple of years. Before we go to break, I want to tell you about a place that's had a run for over 50 years. Probably more than a run, but when you've been in business for over 50 years, that means you're treating people the right way, and that's what Monument Chevrolet is all about. And in line with that is Truck Month. And if you go to Monument Chevrolet this month and get yourself a Silverado 1500, you get the supplier discount. That's the biggest discount they've ever offered to the public. So you're looking for a truck, and you're looking for a discount on a great truck, Monument Chevrolet is the place for you. Just go to the website. It's monumentchevrolet.com. And pick out the Silverado you want. They have other trucks, too. If the Silverado isn't for you, maybe you're looking at the Colorado. That still falls under a truck during Truck Month, so you get a deal there as well. From trucks to SUVs, EV vehicles, vehicles for your business is all there for you. View our menu section of the Monument Chevrolet website. Find the vehicle. Find the price. Then head on out there. They're in Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. And then ask for Jeff. He is their GM. He is their point person. Any questions you might have, he'll answer them for you, and then he'll get you situated with a salesperson that'll walk you through the car buying process in a way that fits you, from the price to the pace to the vehicle. They work with you to make sure you drive off that lot in a vehicle that you're going to love and you're going to enjoy the experience as well. That's the Monument Chevrolet way. So, website one more time, monumentchevrolet.com. They are in Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. That's Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So I figured it out earlier in the show. I mentioned that Paradise had been renewed for season 3, and Sterling K. Brown was wearing a soccer jersey, and I couldn't figure out what it was. Turns out he's a man from St. Louis that was a St. Louis MLS jersey. I knew they existed, didn't know what their jerseys looked like, so that connected for me. But most importantly, season 3 of Paradise is a go, so we're all good there. If you're wondering about some of the storylines coming together, you'll get another season of that. But season 2 isn't even over yet. I think the season finale is March 30th, so still got a couple more episodes there for that Hulu hit show. A correction. I think I either danced around saying over a pound of pot or just a pound of pot for Aiden Holloway, the Alabama guard. Turns out the cops have said it's 2.1 pounds of pot, and that's Sean correctly pointed out at this point, once it's over a pound, I mean, he's already in giant trouble.
1 pound
trouble.
Is a lot of weed.
Yeah.
The difference between 1 and 2.
And how you get and how you get treated, whatever.
That pound is not a big difference.
No, he's already in a bad spot.
That's also just so much.
You can't get away. I don't think he'll be able to get away with saying, hey, me and my boys just like it.
Sorry.
Me and my roommates just love weed. Don't think that's going to work out for him. And the question would be is, what's Alabama paying an NIL for a star guard that he needs to be involved, allegedly, in something that would lead to him having 2.1 pounds
of
pot?
Not enough.
Like, he transferred from Auburn, had a good year last year, is having a better year this year. Probably wasn't going to be a draft pick, so you come back for year four. The NIL bag would have been pretty good. I guess it feels like you're in a pretty good spot. They pay in the SEC, and now they can do it legally. They'll pay.
Walter White could have stopped.
Yeah, but Walter White was Heisenberg. Is Aiden Holloway driven by things like Heisenberg was driven by?
I don't know. Yeah. Is he growing them? I don't know.
Does he have a family he's trying to set up for the future because he's afraid he'll die? That's the Heisenberg story. I don't know.
Well, in due time, all will be known.
Apparently not. He's not going to get the Heisenberg status. He got caught pretty quickly.
He's Skinny Pete status.
Didn't go well for Skinny Pete. Yeah.
Maybe Badger. Does Badger make it?
I got to look it up. Did Badger make it? I've seen Badger in other things, and he's just Badger.
It is crazy seeing Badger.
Like, he plays a version of Badger in other things.
Yeah.
But he's still his name is Matt Jones.
I was going to say Matt something.
Yeah. And Skinny Pete, the same. I see him, and I'm like, Skinny Pete.
I've gotten word that Badger did make it at the end of Breaking Bad from Jacob, our intern.
Got it. Skinny Pete is definitely, his name is Charles Baker, if I want to give him some credit, using his actual name. I haven't seen him in anything that didn't resemble Skinny Pete since I saw him as Skinny Pete. Skinny Pete's in the pit, by the way.
Is he really?
Yes.
Is he like a nurse or something?
I don't remember because it's from this year and I've only seen a couple of episodes. I'm way behind on the pit, but Skinny Pete's in the pit.
Okay.
Look at,
shout out to Skinny
still
Pete.
Working.
Do but, you like, I don't know. There's not a guy who looks like Skinny Pete, but I realize that show ended over a decade ago, so he might have changed his look a little bit, but probably not on meth or depicting someone who's on meth.
He's taken the beanie off.
Okay, that's why I didn't recognize him.
He has taken the beanie off, so that might be the reason why you don't recognize him. He plays a patient.
Okay.
But he plays a homeless patient, which falls in line where you think Skinny Pete would have wound up.
Oh, you know what? I think I know who that guy is. I think I know who he plays.
Yeah, he's got longer hair.
Okay.
But he is in the pit.
Okay. Yeah. Well, shout out to the Breaking Bad.
Oh, he was the stinky. He's the stinky guy. The really awfully smelling guy.
Who the they guy, had to give an out. Hose down.
Yeah, that hose him down to bring him in. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, honestly, if Skinny Pete wound up as that guy, you'd be like, yeah.
That could almost be an El Camino style sequel for Skinny Pete.
Some people think The Pit is a version of ER. It's actually a sequel.
The Skinny Pete story.
Yeah, turns out it was always the Skinny Pete story.
Still skinny.
Yeah, still skinny, still rough looking. But he got that shower. He got his hair combed in the pit. All right, we're done. Rich Eisen is up next, followed by Jeremy and Joe. Since we're done, Sean, what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
Skinny Pete will take them. Or at least Troy in the pit will take them. He had some issues. We'll talk to you tomorrow.